soul-searching over China's wild animal markets as the number of new coronavirus cases continues to climb.
They're offering carcasses and live specimens of lots of different kind of wild animals, including crocodiles, hedgehogs, bamboo rats, and even ostriches.
And pressure grows to allow John Bolton to testify in the Senate impeachment trial.
The ground had sort of noticeably shifted on Monday.
Plus, Airbus settles a long-running corruption investigation. This is What's News from The Wall Street Journal. I'm Kim Gittleson. Let's get started. Now, before we take a closer look at the suspected source of the deadly new Chinese coronavirus, here's what you missed. President Trump's legal team finished their second day of arguments against impeachment yesterday. They argued that impeachment was a political weapon being used by Democrats who had improperly managed the process. They also defended the president's personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani. One thing they didn't focus on? John Bolton, and the leaked copy of his book in which he says the president told him he wanted to withhold aid from Ukraine unless it pursued investigations into his Democratic rivals. The president has denied this. From Washington, Rebecca Ballhaus has more.
So we really saw the defense team react very little to the release of the manuscript, at least on the Senate floor. They have not mentioned Bolton by name. They sort of said at the outset that they weren't going to get into any new allegations beyond the evidence that's been introduced in the trial. And they sort of carried on with their plan that they had developed before these allegations even came out.
But outside of the Senate chamber, it was a different story.
The Bolton manuscript did seem to rattle several Republican lawmakers on Capitol Hill, however. And while we haven't seen any senators who were previously planning to vote no on witnesses say that they're now planning to vote yes, we saw people who had been staunchly opposed to calling witnesses now talk about the circumstances under which they would be open to having witnesses. We saw some of the senators who were on the fence about calling witnesses say that Bolton's allegations strengthen the case for hearing new testimony. So it certainly has shifted the ground on Capitol Hill.
The president's legal team will wrap up their defense today. We'll bring you the latest in our afternoon edition. Could consolidation in the dairy industry lead to higher milk prices? We report that the tie-up between a major U.S. dairy cooperative and bankrupt milk processor Dean Foods is being probed over antitrust concerns. Dean filed for bankruptcy in November, citing declining demand. Some farm groups are now raising concerns that joining Dean and the Dairy Farmers of America might lead to an excessive concentration of milk buyers in parts of the country. Dean declined to comment. Airbus has reached an international deal over a long-running investigation into bribery and corruption. From London, aerospace reporter Ben Katz has more.
So this morning what we heard from Airbus is that they've reached a preliminary agreement with fraud offices in the US, the UK and France. So this ends, you know, when the final result comes out, this ends what has been, you know, a five-year kind of ordeal for Airbus after they found, you know, some inconsistencies in their use of third-party kind of agents and consultants to secure what are really, you know, very lucrative deals with airlines across the world. And what we're really waiting for now is to find out the scale of the fine. There's some estimates that are out there, some press reports that say it could be in excess of 3 billion euros, which would absolutely make some records.
Airbus said in a statement that it had reached in principle a so-called deferred prosecution agreement. That would allow the company to avoid formal charges.
You know, the former CEO, Tom Enders, made this, you know, his main priority before he left the company, before handing over the reins to the new CEO who took over just last year, Guillaume Faury. Guillaume Faury, you know, the aerospace industry at the moment is in quite an upheaval. So, you know, I think for Airbus, they'll just be relieved that they can put this behind them and kind of focus on the market at the moment.
Now, our main story. China now says there are more than 4,500 confirmed cases of the new coronavirus and that more than 100 people have died from it. Millions of people remain on lockdown in central China, and U.S. authorities have urged Americans to reconsider travel to the country. Global stocks have fallen on investor concerns about the economic impact of the virus. But what do we know about where the virus originated from? Our China political and diplomatic editor, Jeremy Page, has been looking into the suspected source of the outbreak. So, Jeremy, what is the suspected source of this new coronavirus?
So the suspected source is this market. It's a food market down in the city of Wuhan, which is the city at the center of the epidemic. And one part of this market had a number of stalls that were selling wild meat. So they were offering carcasses and live specimens of lots of different kind of wild animals, including crocodiles, hedgehogs, bamboo rats, and even ostriches.
And what led authorities to this particular market?
So what led them to this market was that in late December, four workers from there were admitted to a local hospital in Wuhan with pneumonia. And so the hospital alerted the local disease control office, and they started looking for, retrospectively, for other cases that also might be linked to this market, and they found several others. So that's when things escalated, and they alerted sort of central authorities. But they also then closed the market and started taking samples, looking for signs of the virus, which by that stage they'd managed to sort of map the genetic sequence of. And they ended up finding virus samples on some of the stalls that were selling wild meat in this market.
When you say wild meat, what do you mean? And why are conditions like the one in this market more susceptible to this sort of viral jump, if you will?
So the market was selling a wide range of wild animals, which are found actually quite commonly in markets all around China, and are eaten as meat. Some of them are used in traditional medicine, but wild meat has always been popular as a delicacy, especially in southern China. That said, you know, this has been identified as a health risk for some time in China, especially since the SARS epidemic of 2002-2003, where that was found to have originated in bats, but then to have spread to humans via civet cats that were sold in these kind of food markets. And since then, a whole lot of research has been done, which has proven that this virus, these types of virus, do reside naturally in bats, but can jump very easily to other mammals.
We've talked a lot about the official reaction to contain the virus in our past couple shows, these lockdowns, travel bans, face masks. What's been the official reaction to these markets? Are they shut down now?
So the official reaction has been to ban the trade in all wild animals temporarily. They're saying until the end of the epidemic. But what's interesting is that you're seeing a much more sort of vociferous public reaction, including some very open calls for a total ban on the trade and consumption of wild meat, which is something that the government of Beijing has been reluctant to impose. There have been tighter restrictions on the wild meat trade since SARS, but the catch is that you can still breed a lot of these wild animals in captivity. And so in theory, if they're raised on these kind of farms, then they're subject to sanitation checks, and so they should be safe. In reality, the trade is very, very poorly regulated, and there's a lot of underground trade as well. So a lot of the meat that ends up in these markets is doesn't meet sanitation standards and is carrying a lot of bacteria and viruses. So now you have a lot of Chinese scientists and ordinary members of the public and some celebrities coming out and calling for a total ban on the wild meat trade. But the government hasn't yet imposed that.
You can find all of our continuing coverage of the new coronavirus and efforts to contain it up on WSJ.com. On to markets. Central bankers will gather in Washington this week for the first Fed policy meeting of the year. One big topic of discussion will be short-term rates and just how much control the Fed has over them. Our Federal Reserve reporter Nick Timiroche breaks it down.
It's really about what investors think the Fed is trying to do. They added assets to their balance sheet during the financial crisis, and they said they were doing that to stimulate growth because they had cut interest rates to zero. They are adding assets to their balance sheet again, but this time they say that isn't designed to spur growth. It's a technical fix they're making because they think that last year they took too many reserves out of the banking system, and so now they want to put reserves back. But the issue here for the Fed is that if investors think that this is providing juice to the stock market, it may not matter so much what the Fed says. It matters what investors think is happening and whether they're willing to take risks by purchasing stocks to do that.
And here's what else we're paying attention to today. President Trump is set to unveil his administration's plan for peace in the Middle East. People briefed on it say that it heavily favors Israel on matters of borders, security, and Jerusalem. Current Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and his challenger Benny Gantz both visited the White House yesterday. The Palestinian Authority called for Arab ambassadors to boycott the White House event. After the bell today, we'll get earnings from Apple. Investors will be looking for more details on the revenue the firm is making from subscriptions, including its recently introduced Apple TV Plus streaming service. They'll also want to know just how well AirPods are doing. They've been Apple's breakout hardware success. Finally, running barefoot through grass is one of life's simple pleasures. Dipping your toes in the ocean, also pretty good. But what about going sockless on a plane? For some people, it seems to have a similar appeal. Recent viral videos have shown barefoot people doing some questionable things on planes, like swiping through the airplane entertainment system with their big toe. Experts say it's part of a growing trend of people doing whatever they want on planes, rationalizing their behavior with, well, I paid for this ticket. What do you think? Is it ever okay to go barefoot on a plane? Tweet us your best stories at WSJ Podcasts. That's what's news from the Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.